Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online. If you'd like to join today's discussions, if there's something you'd like to talk about, a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. The lines are yours right now. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to talk today about the only thing that counts. Hopefully that perks some ears up, because whenever you read something like that in the Word of God, your ear should perk up. You should want to listen to what really is the only thing that counts, the only thing that matters. And Paul used that phrase in Galatians 5:6, and it's a wonderful passage as far as faith is concerned. And the context of this particular passage is the freedom that we have in Christ. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And so what does that freedom look like? And what that freedom looks like is faith expressing itself in love. That's what we've been set free to do, to walk by faith in Jesus Christ and to express that faith in the Lord through love to one another. And that's the only thing that counts. Paul says this, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value." So there were Judaizers, going around the known world at that day, and they were telling believers, Gentile believers, if you really want to be a Christian, you have to follow Jewish law.
Yes.
So if you're not circumcised, you need to be circumcised. If you're not following the Sabbath days and keeping the festivals, you need to keep the festivals. And so they wanted all of these Gentiles to basically become Jewish Christians.
Yes.
And Paul was saying, no, that's not right. Their acceptance before God was based upon the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In exactly the same way, your righteousness before God was secured through the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's by faith. Righteousness is by faith. So circumcision doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or not circumcised. That has no value as far as God is concerned. What has real value is that your heart's been circumcised in such a way that you can trust the Lord each and every day and express that faith in love. That is the thing that counts. That's the only thing that counts. That's what matters as far as God is concerned. So we can't express that love through law. We can't express love toward others through rules and regulations. If we set up rules and regulations as our standard, as our rule of life, then we will have no love. It is impossible for us to love others if we are living by a set of rules and regulations. Why? Because we'll constantly be judging ourselves to see if we're doing okay, and then we'll say, hey, we're not doing so good, but maybe there's others that are doing worse, and then we'll start judging others. And we'll be living by fear, living by condemnation, we'll be judgmental. That's not love. So you can't express love without faith. It's faith expressing itself in love. That's why this is so vitally important that we get this faith stuff down, that we actually know what it means to walk by faith in Jesus Christ. And when we do, we'll see that faith expressing itself in love, and we'll be able to say we're living out what really matters as far as God is concerned.
Yes, indeed. It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. The lines are open at 844-322-2742, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. You know, Bob, something else that doesn't count as far as God is concerned, and that is self-effort. And, you know, that reminds me of Richard's brand-new CD called The High Cost of Legalism. So, friends, if you are feeling tired, worn out, we want to help you experience true rest by sending you a copy of Richard's CD, The High Cost of Legalism. legalism. It shows you why lasting spiritual refreshment can only be found when you stop relying on yourself and start depending on the Lord Jesus Christ. The high cost of legalism is yours for a gift this month to Basic Gospel. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. It's our gift to say thank you for your donation. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net for your copy of The High Cost of Legalism. And thank you for helping more people hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New York and talk to Lind. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Hello, Lind.
Well, you are on the air. Welcome to Basic Gospel today, my friend.
Well, thank you for having me on the air. Hey, my brothers, how are you?
Doing fantastic.
Richard and Bob and Bob.
Yeah.
Listen, yeah. I have... It's good to hear you guys, and the reason I'm going to say that it's good to hear you guys is before I actually have a question for both you and Richard, but before I do, I want to say I am so brokenhearted that you guys are not on the air in New York, at least not the station I was listening to you on, WMCA, so...
Yeah, we are not there anymore, and we're brokenhearted about that as well, and we hope to be back as soon as we can. We just need, it's a very expensive station, and we just needed more support to make that happen. So we're praying for that opportunity to circle back around for us, and when it does, we'll be able to go to walk through those doors and be there for a long, long time to come. So that's our prayer, Lind.
I appreciate you sharing that, Bob, because it really, you know, just the one day I got on, I'm like, what's going on here? They're not here. And then the next day, and then I actually called the ministry, and they told me, it's usually always a case of support. But anyway, with that being said, well, thank God for radio archives on your website, too. Praise God for that. Thank God. Praise God for the radio archives and the website. The question I really want to ask both you and Richard is, just to cut to the chase, there's a particular verse in Proverbs that really kind of gets underneath my skin quite a bit. There's a couple of reasons for it, too. I actually am in the middle of a divorce right now, and chapter 11, if you would go there, Proverbs chapter 11.
Okay.
And it's verse 29. And I'll read it from the Living Bible. You know, it says, the fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. And I guess you go over to the King James Version, it says, you know, he will inherit the win. And I'm just, it really bothers me. I guess one of the reasons it bothers me is because I do suffer in some degree with, you know, low self-esteem at times. And I am in the middle of a divorce. My daughter no longer lives with me, and, you know, I'm in the middle of a divorce. So I'm thinking, you know, this is causing resentment and anger against me. And I even got a letter, you know, with someone anonymously telling me that, you know, they threw that verse in my face and gave me several letters after that and would not even identify themselves, kept it anonymous. And they threw that verse in there, and I got to tell you, you know, there's just so many reasons. I mean, I never wanted to get a divorce, but be that as it may, that's the way it's going down right now. So I guess I'd rather just hear what you and Richard have to say about that particular verse.
Well, Lind, thank you for the question, and certainly heart goes out to you as far as what you're going through right now. I think divorce is one of the most painful things that a person can experience. There's deep rejection, and once it becomes final, Lynn, I think you'll even feel that weight is even heavier than you thought it might be. But that's just kind of built into divorce. I mean, that's the consequence. It's not that God's bringing those things about. I think that's just built into the divorce itself. And you know, the interesting thing when we talk about divorce, when a divorce happens, you know, so many people really focus on that, you know, the separation, and don't even really give any weight at all to all of the things that were happening in your relationship that brought you to this point. And I'm sure there are many hurts and pains and wrong behaviors on both parties all along the way that brought you to this point. And so that's, you finally just come to the point and say, we can't do it anymore. We need to go our separate ways. And that's a painful thing. And certainly your kids are going to experience some emotional pain from that as well. You just can't help it. I mean, you can't avoid those things. I don't know how old your kids are, but it doesn't matter. They're going to experience some pain in this as well. And they may be asking themselves, was it our fault? They may be saying, what's wrong with me? Those are the questions. Why? Because kids actually get stability. They get a sense of security. They get a sense of confidence as far as they are concerned, not because mom and dad love them, but because mom and dad love each other. And they're a part of that love. So they've found a place there. And when that unravels, then they don't know their place. And so they feel insecure, and that's one of the, you know, that's one of the consequences of divorce. But it's happening, and you just have to trust that God can work this thing together for good. Now, he's not going to make divorce good, but he can work in the midst of that, and he's able, he's willing, and he's going to. He's going to work in the midst of that. So you, as an individual, need to look and see what God is doing there first in your own life, and then trust that he's going to be doing something in your spouse's life and in your kids' life to bring them to that point where they can see that their real security is in Christ, that it's in his finished work, in his death, burial, and resurrection, and the fact that they have an identity in him, not in a particular family, not in a particular heritage, but a real identity in Christ. And so if I'm in your shoes, Lynn, I pray to that end, that everyone finds solid footing in the Lord Jesus. Now, as far as this passage in Proverbs is concerned, whoever brings ruin on their...
Before you answer the question, let me just throw it in a different direction, too, and thank you for all you've said so far. I guess what I'm thinking is, I'm wondering if the interpretation from that verse, of course, really knowing who you are in Jesus Christ has everything to do with it, but I'm wondering if that interpretation is, you know, different versions will put it a different way, but I'm wondering, I mean, is God causing this type of punishment? In other words, the way I'm interpreting it is that he's saying you will inherit the wind, meaning, does that mean you'll become homeless or, you know, things will just get so devastating? I mean, because in a sense it's saying that, but I mean, am I interpreting it wrong, gentlemen?
Well, Lynn, I think we have to get to the cross, and there Jesus took the punishment for our sins. So we have to realize that God isn't directing punishment toward us when we sin today. Jesus diverted that. He turned it aside, and he took the wrath of God for us. So there's no punishment for your sin. I mean, there was punishment. Jesus took the punishment. So it's been dealt with, hasn't it? So when the divorce is final, you look at that and you say, that's a sin. That's not what God wanted. But we, you know, through various things, through hardness of heart, whatever it was, we chose to divorce. And you have to look at that and say, well, Jesus saw that when he died 2,000 years ago. And he said, I'm going to take the punishment for Lynn for that sin. And so he took that punishment for you. So with that being the case, now we just look at sin itself. Sin carries with it natural consequences. So there are things that happen, not because God is judging, not because God is punishing, but because sin is devastating. That's what sin does. So if a family comes to ruin, you know, you have an inheritance in the family. Now what do you have? Well, only the wind, basically. And I think that's what this verse is saying. So don't look at it, Lynn, that God is going to make you homeless, or God is going to, you know, basically take you out, behind the woodshed and just whoop you real good, because your punishment for sin, all your sins, went upon Jesus. So that gives you, you know, some objective eyes to see sin for what it really is, that within sin there are consequences. So, I mean, it's like a drug. You put a drug in your body's going to react to it. I mean, that's just comes with the drug, doesn't it?
Yes, well put.
So that's what sin is. There's just stuff that comes with it that's not real good.
I tend to be hard on myself, you know, and, you know, reading a verse like that, you know, I went every avenue I could, you know, to, you know, prevent this from happening. But I, you know, I tend to be hard on myself when I read a verse like that. It's like, I feel like, in a sense, even though it's from the Word of God, I feel like it's the enemy throwing it at me, you know? Of course, yeah, you don't have, I mean, I have a daughter that's going to be 22, and, you know, she's very, very independent and on her own now. But yeah, you're right, in the sense, right, the consequences in this world, we're still in time and space, it's still going to be there.
Well, Lynn, so, let me interrupt and offer you something. You're buying into a lie, and that lie has been given to you by this anonymous writer. If you get something anonymously from someone, throw it in the trash. Pay no attention to it. All they're bringing is condemnation to you. And there is no condemnation for you as a child of God. The Spirit will deal truthfully with you, absolutely, as Bob has been saying. But this condemnation that causes you to doubt everything and to just wander through life for the next few days in a fog, that's not of God. And you don't have to put up with that. You really don't. There is enough to deal with in the truth and in the day-to-day issues that you're facing right now, but not to get into this condemnation stuff that you start believing lies about yourself and all the rest of it. It's just not helpful.
Richard, I really appreciate you saying that, because it's I actually, this individual, whoever he was sending me letters, actually these anonymous letters, for over 2 years, and putting these verses on the outside, you know, that were just things that I already knew, you know, just rubbing salt in my wounds, you know, someone that knew me. And so, I mean, 80% of them I just decided to trash, you know. But I really appreciate your words, because I really respect and honor you and Bob, because I used to be a severely legalistic Christian and back in the mid-70s. And having you two on the air and a few other people, which is very, very rare, you know, approaching Christianity with a done mentality, the crucifixion.
It's finished. That's right. It is finished.
It's finished. It is finished. Christianity begins with a done, not a do. And so, knowing who we are in Jesus Christ, but honestly, you know, I've been alone, and sometimes when you're alone, you know, when you isolate, you know, you can start buying into the things your flesh will tell you, the world, you know, the devil himself. So, Richard, I appreciate that so much. And Bob, yourself too. I really do, because it's that particular verse. It keeps popping up maybe once every couple months, because I've been reading Proverbs, but. And it's really been a burden on my back. It really has. It's just been a monkey on my back, and thinking that I'm going to go homeless. You know, I mean, enough. The fact that I'm getting enough, you know, I'm divorced is, you know, emotionally, you know, torturing itself. So, but I thank God for Jesus Christ that He's getting me through this.
Yeah. Well, Lynn, keep your eyes on Him, the author and finisher of your faith. Recognize that there's no condemnation in the Lord, and that He's promised to take care of your needs, all of your needs, according to His riches and glory, and that He is going to work this together for good. Trust Him, keep your eyes on Him, and watch Him do His thing. Okay, Lind?
Yeah, Lind.
Hey, listen, I just want to say, and I know I don't just speak for myself. I know there are many, 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 many other people that are really missing you guys on WMCA. So if at all possible, whatever you can do, if the door is open, please walk it through. Please walk through it, gentlemen.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Lynn. I appreciate it.
Thanks for your word.
All right. God bless.
Good to hear from you, Lynn.
Let's go to Thorndale, Texas, and talk with Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Doing okay. What's on your mind?
You know, that's exactly the same thing what Lynn was talking about, what you're saying. About I always, when I read an Old Testament scripture, I like to take it to the cross and see it fulfilled in Christ. And I want to say first, do you see, you know, he calls us a royal priesthood, okay, and a kingdom of priests, okay? And the thing is, the priesthood is completely changed through the new covenant, but it's still the same thing. It's to minister God to the nations, or minister the gospel to the nations. Do you see that as true?
Well, we are a royal priesthood, and we're to declare the praises of the one who snatched us out of darkness and put us in his marvelous light. So we do get to offer praises to God, and then we take the truth of God and offer them out into the world, so that others can enjoy the goodness of God through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So we've become a kingdom of priests. We've been given ministry. Our ministry is to be ministers of reconciliation and ministers of the new covenant. So ministers of forgiveness and ministers of life. That's what we deliver out in this world, and that's what's so desperately needed out in this world. I mean, folks are fearful that God is going to punish them. So we have the wonderful privilege of declaring that because of Christ, that they've been reconciled to the Lord through the shed blood of Jesus, and that God is no longer counting their sins against them. We also have the opportunity to say that life is available. You're dead spiritually, and life is available to you through the resurrected Christ. So we are ministers of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So we offer praises to God, and then we take the things of the Lord and make them known out in the world today. That's our ministry as believers.
So when you, real quick, and I've been meditating on this election and stuff, I'm not going to go into it, but you take this 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people are who are called by my name, the royal priesthood, I'm bringing it into the cross, will humble themselves and vote. It doesn't say that. It says, and pray and seek my face, because they are free from sin and death, they will hear from heaven, because their sins have been forgiven, and I will heal their land. You know, the deal is, that's the thing the body of Christ to do first, is to pray and realize their identity in Christ, like what you said, and intercede for this nation. And God said that he would heal this land.
Well,
I'm going to vote too. I'm going to vote too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling anybody not to vote. What I'm talking about is realize who you've become because of what he has done, his royal priesthood and the kingdom of priests in Christ and his identity, and ministering the good news. Because you said it last week. You said, what leadership, what country, what nation has ever given man what he truly needs in his life? None of them. You can't ever find any of them. It's only through Jesus Christ. And that was really good last week, Bob, or the week before.
Well, thanks, Clay. Well, it is true. Our hope is Jesus. There are so many folks that are putting their hope in politics, or looking for political solutions. They're looking for worldly answers, and they're never going to find them. There's only one answer, and it's in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So, Clay, thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it. And it's kind of interesting, that passage in 2 Chronicles, mm-hmm. You know, if my people, in that day, my people, that meant Israel.
Yes.
And it was really a reference to the land. The land had become unsettled. It was messed up, and he was actually going to heal their land so it would become fruitful again. Well, my people today would be the people of Christ. It would be the church, the body of Christ, scattered all over the world. And we have to recognize that that was something for the Jews. We have promises for us today, and we do have that privilege of praying about the things that are going on in this world. And that's why we have so many wonderful resources to help people along, mm-hmm. You know, in their journey with Christ, our new YouTube channel, and we encourage people to take a look at that, and so many other things that we have, and you have some information as well.
Absolutely, and you know, Lynn mentioned as he ended his call of being steeped in legalism, and friends, if that's you, if you're feeling tired and worn out, and you know, we want to help you rest by sending you a copy of Richard's brand new CD, The High Cost of Legalism. In this CD, Richard shows you why lasting spiritual refreshment can only be found when you stop relying on yourself and start depending on the Lord Jesus Christ. The High Cost of Legalism. I think it's aptly titled. Well, it's yours for a gift this month to Basic Gospel. Simply click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. It's our gift to say thank you for your donation. Basicgospel.net. We'll be back for another edition tomorrow. We hope you'll join us. See you then. Bye-bye.